Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for starting the weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Purlington.
It would be a little weird.
Nobody would expect that.
Anywhere near Pearl?
No. It is about as far south in Mississippi as you can get. It is on the. It's in Hancock County on the border with Louisiana.
Okay.
Yeah.
That does sound kind of like a coasty name.
Yeah.
Purlington.
It's near the Possum Trailhead.
As it should be.
There you go. So, wherever you are in our great state, from the Gulf of Mexico all the way up to the Tennessee state line, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, order it to be shipped right to your door, and you can be enjoying some delicious Strange Brew Coffee each morning, and you can be supporting the Bulldog Initiative the same way you can when you deal with our friends over at Pip Printing, who we accidentally gave some extra business to, or at least they people want us to. Can't get those signs, guys. That's just for me and Robbie. That's just for us. We're special. Yeah. Sometimes
we'll see. We'll see.
Anyway, how about you just give your printing business to Pip Printing? If you own a business, you're spending money on printing. Pip Printing, 30 years worth of experience, MSU owned and operated, and they're going to give 10% of your sales right back to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. You can't not want to give this company your business. They're going to take care of you. They're going to take care of your customers, and they're going to take care of Mississippi State all in one purchase. Call my friend Camden Baker at 601-499-5216 or visit them online at pipridgeland.com to find out some more information. If you need printing, if you need printing, call Pip today. I was just thinking, today is the day Camden's probably like, I should not have given my personal cell phone number in these ad reads because everybody knows it now. Got random.
In theory,
hey man, can I get one of those?
Yeah.
Oh well.
I mean, what can I say? We move the needle. If you're wanting to advertise with us, be ready.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah. I agree. I agree with that statement. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. And they got plenty of it, guys. And they've got the logos that you want. They've got great-looking polos, pullovers, T-shirts, baseball caps. They've got tailgating stuff, stuff for your house, stuff for your car. Whatever it is that you want to let people know, hey, I support the maroon and white, you can get it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you there in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. That's the place to go for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. This weekend, if you're looking for a great Sunday brunch, if you want to do like a little early Valentine's brunchy kind of thing, head over to Restaurant Tyler, man. They've got the best one in town. Fantastic. If you're a breakfast kind of brunch person, if you're a lunch kind of brunch person, whatever it is, they've got you covered with the best menu for brunch in the city of Starkville. It's right there at Restaurant Tyler, corner of Washington. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, that's right. Washington and Main Street. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi means there's one nearby to serve you. If you're looking for a bank that offers you everything that a big corporate bank does, but also gives you that great service that you expect from your local businesses, that's what Priority One Bank gives you. That's the difference that they provide. If you're a Priority One Bank customer, you already know how great their app is. It's a smooth, streamlined app. It's available on all mobile devices, and you do a lot more on there than just move your money around. You can do almost everything you can do at a Priority One Bank location. 16 locations in central Mississippi. That means there's one near you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I got a complaint to start the show here today. We haven't complained much lately, I don't feel. But today we're going to complain. So we got a tweet today, you and I. By the way, if you want to know who the movers and the shakers are at Mississippi State, here we go. We are 8 days away from Mississippi State baseball season opener. Why have game times for that game and the rest of the weekend not been announced? Who is tagged in this tweet? Zach Selman, the athletic director. Joey Bailey, who I'm not sure what her title is, but she is an associate athletic director. She works directly with Zach Selman.
She is basically right next to Zach Selman. Like,
she's
she
the
is
hand of the king.
She is in the inner circle. Her, Terry Prentice,
yeah,
and Tom Green,
all right,
basically.
So she's tagged. Travis Ray, who is MSU SID for baseball. And who else is tagged in this tweet? Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk. They know that we are difference makers. Again, they know. They're like, we want to find out information. This is what I found out. I decided to do a pretty quick look around the SEC. I went to all 14 teams' websites. Two teams don't have all of their opening weekend times set. And furthermore, don't have all of their non-conference times set. You want to guess who the other team is?
Judging by the fact that, you know, you and I already talked about it, I'm going to say Auburn.
It is Auburn. The Cohen effect in full force out here. You got to get – as you're listening to this, you're 7 days out. We're 1 week out. You got to give these times out. This is ridiculous if you don't know the times for these games.
I want to go ahead and eliminate Travis Ray from this.
Yeah, he didn't do anything to it.
Because I've talked to Travis. I've talked to Travis about these things before. He has no control over it. It's got to be signed off by Chris Lemonis first and foremost. It's just like the roster. We're a week away, and Mississippi State does not have a roster.
Roster's not up either.
That is insane.
Make it happen.
We can't really reference a whole lot on this team because we can't go look at the roster and kind of.
I will give you an example. So at the basketball game Wednesday night, they brought the entire baseball team out to recognize him, right? Mm-hmm. One player was on crutches.
Yes.
So I'm like, who is that? So he turns around, he's number 24, but I can't, you know, because we're a mile away from the floor, I can't see his name. I can't go to hailstate.com and just pull up a roster and find out who number 24 is.
I think it was Braden Booth.
It's not. It's Jace Norton is his name.
Was it?
Yeah.
Is Braden Booth even on the team?
I don't even know who Braden Booth is. Again, I don't know because there's no roster for me to look at.
I thought I saw Booth on the back of his jersey, but.
Well, according to sources, it's Jace Northern is his name, or Jace Norton. Jace Norton. So he's hurt.
I don't think he was going to play much this year.
That part of it is irrelevant, though. The part I'm trying to get at is I couldn't just go to the website and say, who's number 24?
Right.
I found out who number 24 was. It was Slade Alford.
Yeah. Cole Gordon.
Cole Gordon.
So here's my issue. Like, why not just make times for these games so people can plan?
Yeah.
And then if something changes, you come back. I mean,
you have to.
And it's the same thing with the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Put everybody on the roster. If they do get cut or whatever, take them off the roster.
Cross them off then. Think about it like this. Like, these schools, like Ole Miss's opening weekend doesn't count because they're in Hawaii, right? But, you know, let's see the next weekend, right? Let's just say their Friday night game is scheduled for 6. I don't know. I didn't look that hard. I just know that there's a time. Well, let's say, like, there's a forecast that comes in a few days out, and you're like, hey, it's going to rain that day. It's going to be raining that evening. But it's going to be clear from like 1 to 5. You change the time,
which it happens all the time.
So
all the time during
the season on the schedule. This is the kind of thing, by the way, when you've had back to back crap seasons and you don't make the postseason. This is the kind of thing that drives people insane, because it's just like they're just looking, and maybe I'm one of them, but they're just looking for a reason to be angry with this team. And it's like, why not just give them something? Give them the times. Mississippi State today tweeted out a graphic talking about all the stuff they're going to be doing next weekend for opening day. It's military appreciation. They're going to have flyovers and blah, blah, blah. And it's all this great stuff. What time do I get to the ballpark? I don't know. What time do I need to be to see all this stuff? I don't know. It's dumb.
Do you think that by Friday those times are made thanks in large part to us talking about this?
I bet tomorrow something gets announced. We might get a text too because we're being a little angry. But it doesn't matter. We're right.
Look,
but don't tell me I'm wrong.
Here's my thought process on everything that we've complained about over the last couple years. People can get upset about it on the front end. That's fine. But at the end of the day, you're going to say it was the right decision. We're glad we did this. It always happens. It happened with the state script. It happened with painting the end zones. It happened with, the atmosphere at games. Everything we talked about, y'all just complain about it. And now everybody's wearing the state script.
Everything is happening as I have foreseen it.
So you can get upset about us on the front end. But again, just like Brian said, you will not say that we're wrong.
You can call us negative. You can call us dumb. You can follow us
on Twitter, but you'll come right back.
You call us whatever you want, but call us right. Every time.
And, there's another thing, too, that's like always just been kind of strange to me.
Yeah.
Because there's not a reference. We can't go back and reference it if we want to like look at the recruiting classes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I follow it, 247 follows it, the recruiting classes. Without us, no one would know who is in Mississippi State's recruiting class. You can go to Perfect Game and you can see most of it, but without us keeping track of it, and yeah. I've kept track of every recruiting class since 2014. And without that, what would be the reference point for who Mississippi State signs?
Like it's 1988 over here again. You just get the roster at the beginning of the year. Oh, he's new.
Oh, my God. In 1988, at least they put out a press release on who they signed. And again, that is not a that's not a Mississippi State. That's not a Travis Ray issue.
Travis Ray is just the messenger. The poor guy.
That's a decision. Like Chris Simonis will not put that information out. Like what? Again, why not put that information out after they've already signed?
It's another thing. Again, when you're good. Nick Saban could do whatever he wanted at Alabama, right? If he didn't want to release it, like, don't anybody report on our signees. Okay, no problem, coach, because you won 6 national titles. Now, Chris Holmes has won 1 national title, but then he followed it up with back-to-back losing seasons. Or maybe not last year, I guess there were 2 games over 500, whatever.
In the SEC,
yeah. It's like, you can't get away with that when you're losing. People get mad. They want to nitpick you.
It's just like the people, There's a portion of the fan base, and I guess it's 2 portions of the fan base. It's 2 different people,
mm-hmm.
but they are now vehemently against baseball because of the baseball only crowd that shows up for baseball games, even when the team's not any good and they're not coming to basketball games. Well, now that's created some dissension with people that would normally cheer for the baseball team. Now they're cheering against the baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that and the fact that they haven't been any good. So there's just a lot of there's a lot of nitpicking, like you said. And that the ones that are going to be doing the most nitpicking is probably going to be that crowd, I imagine. But you're right. It's a small thing, but to me it matters. Like, why are you one of 2 teams in the SEC that don't have this done?
The other thing is, because we have people who are just like, whatever the athletic department does, they're going to sign off on. They're like, you shouldn't complain, blah, blah, blah. But you can't give me – you can't make me understand why, as a fan, you wouldn't want to know the answer to what time is the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a simple thing. Like, if I want to be at the stadium, I want to go to the game, but I got to know what time to be there.
What are the positives of it would be my question.
Explain – if you're going to complain about me complaining, tell me what you're complaining about. Tell me what I'm doing that's wrong.
Yeah, I just want to know what do you gain from not having times?
Yeah.
Because we have the times. At some point they will set all the times for these games. and then a rainstorm will be in the forecast and we'll change them. Mm-hmm. Why can you not do that now?
Yeah.
Well, no. This makes no sense.
All right. Let's move on. Just getting angry.
Are we ready to move forward?
Yeah, we are. We are.
There will be plenty to be said about baseball in the coming months.
Sure there will. Let's start with basketball. Let's start with basketball. Mississippi State got the win they had to have Wednesday night. I know that Georgia cut it to three with 5 minutes to go, but I felt like that was a pretty comfortable win for Mississippi State. I thought they played really well start to finish, even though they were shorthanded. Getting Keyshawn Murphy back, very, very useful to Mississippi State. I thought Sean Jones, I mean, his stat line didn't look any different than the average DJ Jeffries stat line would look, so he filled in really well in that role. Rams Davis having 8 assists was huge for Mississippi State. 19 assists on 25 made buckets for the Bulldogs Wednesday night. I just thought they were in control from the start of the game and played really well.
It looked like those games that they score in the 60s that they had the last 2 years that you mostly felt in control most of the game, despite the fact that they were still within striking distance. That's Mississippi State's game. The score might indicate that the team is close, but it feels like you have complete control over the ball game because of what you're doing defensively. And that's what we've been saying about this team over the last few weeks. They've gotten away from things that have made them a good defensive team. And I thought against a team that in Georgia that I think is a really dangerous team in what they do offensively, State made things difficult for them. They struggled to score in the paint. They had to settle for a lot of outside shots, and they shot 33 of them. And it was kind of like that the Alabama deal where, you know, Bama hit 15, but they shot 40-plus three-pointers. Well, you know, they make 12, but they had to shoot 33. And it was still decent percentage, but for a while there, especially in the first half, they really struggled to knock those shots down. And you have to give a lot of credit to Noah Thomason, who basically carried them from the three-point line. He had an incredible ball game, 6 of 11 from three. Otherwise, I thought State did a great job defensively against them. They kept them off the boards for the most part. You know, they were really active at the three-point line. And this was without their best defender in DJ Jeffries.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was the key for them, was to get stops on the defensive end and find some production on offense. And for the most part, offensively, they showed some good things. I mean, obviously you got a big lift from Keyshawn Murphy off the bench coming in and giving you 15 really good minutes, I think, on the offensive end. And Sean Jones' numbers weren't great, but I don't think they really spoke to the minutes that he gave you too. 33 minutes, got the start, was just 2 for 11 and 1 of 6 from three, but 5 rebounds, really active hands on the defensive end, had a couple of block shots. So I thought the State played really well. And again, started on the defensive end. This team has got to defend really well to allow themselves to do what they want to do. And I thought that's what happened in this game. Got a lot of production and transition too off of those turnovers. So I thought it was a good win. State just needed to find a way to win, and they did in this game. And they held a good Georgia team to 62 points.
So State doesn't move in the net rankings as a result of this win. Still 44. That quad one win over Washington State still holding pretty strong. They are currently 41 in the net rankings. And Northwestern, they are climbing up in the net rankings right now. They're at 55. If they get to 50, that becomes a top. That becomes a quad one win for Mississippi State, a neutral site win over Northwestern.
Non-con quad one wins.
That would be two non-con along to go with your two top 10 conference wins. That's a really good resume. You just got to keep winning games is the main thing. This game, this weekend, being on the road helps, but it is currently a quad three game for Mississippi State. Missouri right now is 146 net, sitting at 8-15 on the year. They lost at home Wednesday night by 19 to Texas A&M. So when we say must win, I mean, you've already got a quad four loss. A quad three loss would not be a good thing for you. State. Yep. And I found it interesting to hear Jans in postgame talk about this. He said, you know, every coach we've ever talked to in our lives, well, the next game, never look ahead. But Jans admitted, he said, hey, you know, I told him we were going to focus on Georgia, but we have to be 2-0 this week. And I feel like that's a good thing for Mississippi State. They need to acknowledge that elephant in the room of we have to pile up some wins. In reality, he could have said we got to be 3-0 in our next three because you got to beat Arkansas when you play them next Saturday. But this is a big game for Mississippi State. They need the same kind of performance they got Wednesday night this Saturday when they travel to Missouri.
Missouri is putrid.
They are not good. And they were really good a season ago.
They were. And they lost to Jackson State this year, mm-hmm. which
yes, they did.
The Southern loss is probably worse than that one, I would guess.
It is.
But in SEC play, you know that their place is kind of a difficult place to play. But at the same time, you got to win this.
Well, I can't imagine their crowd is going to be into the game, Robbie, at this point. I mean.
They lost to
7:30. They're not going to show up for that.
Yeah, they've lost to Arkansas at home. Mm-hmm. They lost to Texas A&M at home. Mm-hmm. They lost
to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, but then they went to overtime against South Carolina. So
do you here's a stat for you, Robbie. You'll find this interesting. So they have 8 wins on the year, right? Mm-hmm. 5 of their 8 wins are against quad 4 teams.
Yeah.
I mean, they have one win quad one, which I know that win. It's they beat Pitt on a neutral. They beat Pitt on the road in the SEC-ACC challenge. I don't know how they got that win, but they got it. That's their quad one win. They have one quad two win. They have one quad three win, and then they have 5 quad four wins. I mean, they're just not good, and you've got to go up there and beat them. And, you know, this isn't you're trying to be overconfident, us being fans and saying, oh, State's just a lot better. You have to win this game. There's no excuse for losing it.
And last year, it was a big game to lose last year. I mean, that was a good Missouri team, but it was right there for the taking for mm-hmm. State on the road and couldn't finish. You have to win this one. And I think it's big for Mississippi State to avoid, you know, disaster, but also to just get over the hump of winning a road game, just to say we won a road game.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously not going to be the same to go to Baton Rouge or even College Station or Auburn, but it's being away from the hump, playing in another team's place and winning a game is something that Mississippi State has got to get. And for me, they need to survive this week in whatever way that they can. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you get healthy. I have no clue what DJ Jeffrey's status is. He was on the bench last night. Looks like he was limping a little bit. So, you know, I don't know when he's going to be back. But you have to win and find a way to scrap and survive every game without DJ Jeffrey's that you can.
Feels like Trey Ford could be back quicker than Jeffrey's. Ford might be back next week. I don't know about Saturday, but he could be back next Saturday.
I've got to believe he's going to be back for Arkansas.
Yeah.
But if you get through these next two games, you win these games, and, I mean, you don't have to play a team that really scares you until February 21st. Like, you got to think DJ's going to be close to getting back in there, and you'll have Trey, and hopefully everybody else is good to go, too, by then. Then you have the final stretch of games where you can really start to pick up some momentum. But if you can win these next two and get to 500 in the league, I think State's going to be okay. But they cannot slip up against either one of these two teams.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I think if they can win these next two, then you know you get Ole Miss, LSU, the next two after that. I mean, you have a chance to pile up some wins here because I think you'll be favored against Ole Miss and Starkville. I think you'll be favored against LSU on the road. So you're talking about 5 straight games where you're a favorite. And I mean, Kentucky is beatable. A&M on the road is beatable. It's going to be really, really tough at Auburn. I mean, that's just a tough game. And then South Carolina
can weather.
They're good. They're just a good team. So we'll see what happens there. But we'll see where it goes for State. But right now, that win got you back in on the road that you needed to be on. All right. Let's.
By the way, Missouri is another team that has the state script on their schedule. Yeah. So everybody is embracing it across the conference.
Even at the pavilion the other night, it was state script on the jump.
On the jump. Oh, yeah.
All right.
And Ole Miss calls Mississippi State.
Yeah.
The PA announcer.
That was the thing when state script first came out 2 years ago. That was the thing that really made me think about, like, when you talk about the Egg Bowl, what do you say? You say state versus Ole Miss. Like, everybody says that. That's what everybody in the SEC says, state versus Ole Miss. Who are you playing this weekend? Oh, we're playing state. State in the SEC. I could care less what somebody in Montana thinks. I could care less what somebody in Vermont thinks. In the SEC footprint, when you say state, everybody knows who you're talking about. So that's an argument I don't want to rehash, but we were right again. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Mississippi pot roast this weekend, Robbie.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a Super Bowl or just Saturday?
I'm not doing like a Super Bowl party or anything, so I'm just going to cook. I'm just going to cook and, you know, have it. It's supposed to rain all day Saturday. I don't think I'm going to be able to grill. So
I got to figure out what to do on Super Bowl, but I think beef is going to be involved in some form or fashion.
As it should. Absolutely, it should. Guys, this weekend, any weekend, when you're firing up the grill, nothing beats the sizzle of beef. Throw some steaks on the grill. Everybody will be happy about that. If you're looking for any kind of recipes, I mean, I say cold weather recipes. I know it's nice right now. Don't be fooled. You know it's coming. You've lived in this state long enough to know there's another cold snap coming. Be ready for it with some delicious soup and chili and stew recipes. They're all right there at msbeef.org. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thank you to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Also, quick shout-out. I don't know who won for steak, and I have to look, but a shout-out to our friend Robert St. John. Ed's Burger Joint won the best burger as voted on by the Mississippi Cattlemen's Association. So thanks to everybody who voted. And you got the one I voted for won, so I'm excited about that.
They do have a good burger.
That's my favorite burger in the state. There's no question about it.
Burger and a milkshake.
You know, Luke Johnson owes me one too, right?
He does.
We had a little bet.
He does indeed.
Mississippi State USM game. The odds on that should have been like he has to buy me a burger, and if Southern won, I'll buy him a whole damn lobster. Southern won that game.
Yeah, those two things are not.
I should have handicapped it. Yeah,
it couldn't have been an even bet there.
No. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. That's the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. Again, if you haven't been recently, they've made some additions to that menu, and they've got some really cool new items on there for you to check out. But all your old favorites are on there as well. So if you're going to be in Starkville, pull up a chair at Two Brothers, grab some great food, have a good time, plenty of TVs to watch the game. And, of course, don't forget, with every purchase, you're supporting the Bulldog Initiative. They are a Bulldog Initiative business. Saw a friend of mine today, by the way. She was wearing a Bulldog Initiative ladies football camp hoodie. I was like, that looks good. And she was like, it's so comfortable. Plus, it looks good. I was like, there you go. Best of both worlds there. I'm going to guess that she got it at Maroon & Co. We'll talk about them in just a second. Great products and great service. Every business likes to promise it to you, but they deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 49 years. If you need technology, you need a new copier or a new printer in your business, you need to call Advantage Business Systems. And then if something goes wrong, and guys, I mean, do I need to tell you that copiers break down? I don't need to tell you that, do I? When they do, you want to be able to call somebody and get immediate help. You don't want to be on hold for 45 minutes. You don't have to schedule an appointment with an out-of-state guy to come fix it for you. Advantage Business Systems is in Mississippi. So if you're in Mississippi, a lot of times they can get out to you the same day. That's a big difference. You can't afford to wait. You don't have to with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. We just mentioned the Maroon & Co. They are the exclusive provider for Bulldog Initiative gear. So if you want the cool hoodies and polos and stuff that the coaches are wearing, you can get it at Maroon & Co. along with a lot of great, unique items. State Script, M over S, Interlocking MSU, great name brands, and, of course, custom cowbells. They have a lot of unique items, guys, stuff you can't find anywhere else. Convenient. It's right there off campus, right here in Starkville. So when you're up here for a game, you need to go to Maroon & Co. and check out their incredible selection of Mississippi State merchandise. It's the best in Starkville. It's Maroon & Co. We got some competition here, Robbie. We got new competition in the sports news category.
Uh-oh.
Big-time competition, too. Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart are doing a podcast together, and it's on the sports news for some reason. A couple guys playing for the New York Knicks.
Oh.
Not good. You know what, though?
I got to be honest with you. I did not know either of those two people.
Josh Hart used to play for the Lakers. You remember him?
Doesn't ring a bell. I've completely checked out of the NBA, man. I can't.
I haven't. Yeah, Brunson's one of
I can't watch anymore.
They played together at Villanova. Brunson's one of the best players in the NBA. Hart's a really good role player, but now, I mean, as if that wasn't, at least as if we didn't have enough work in front of us with Ross Tucker and Boomer Esiason and, of course, Andy Staples, now this. That's all right.
It's okay.
We're going to keep fighting.
It makes, you know what, though? It makes it more relevant because whenever we were number one,
mm-hmm.
I got to be honest with you, like I didn't really know hardly anybody in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was very obscure podcast, very niche podcast. I didn't really know. Mm-hmm. So to me, if we're in the top 25 with places like Andy Staples and all the own three big time podcasts and the national podcast with guys that are actual celebrities, to me, that means something. Than just saying, hey, we were number one at something.
I got you.
If we can say we're right behind Andy Staples.
Yeah, or eighth today.
That's saying something.
That'll move up, though, because we got a couple of clips on here. We got the Cahill interview, and we have this interview that we're going to play right now. I got to talk to Mississippi State defensive coordinator Coleman Hutzler. To my knowledge, the first interview he's done at Mississippi State, and honestly, maybe one of the first interviews he's done, period, since he is in the past few years, because I don't know if you know this or not about Nick Saban, but he had a very strict policy about his assistants. He never let them talk to the media. So that's why when I remember when he got hired, I reached out to some Alabama guys. I was like, what do you know? And they were like, I don't know anything about this person. They didn't know him. So let's
apparently he never let them recruit some of the players that enter the portal from his school either.
I don't buy that for 1 second. That's a dumb theory. I don't buy it.
Well, it was a joke.
I know
it
was.
Thank you very much.
It was a joke.
I made a joke.
Anyway.
Just go to the interview.
Let's go to the interview now with our new friend, Coach Coleman Hutzler. We are back here on Thunder and Lightning, brought to you by the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. That's my hometown. You can't all be from Vicksburg, but you can go to Vicksburg. Go to visitvicksburg.com to find out more information. Very excited to talk to this man because he's been a hard man to find. We haven't talked to him yet. I'm glad we got him on. Coleman Hutzler, Mississippi State's new defensive coordinator and coach. First off, welcome to Starkville. Welcome to Mississippi. I would be remiss, though, not to ask you to reminisce on your days at Alabama with the announcement a couple weeks ago of Coach Saban retiring. What were your thoughts when you heard the news that he was going to be walking away from the game?
You know, really surprised. Obviously, you know, had a great time in my 2 years working for Coach and you know, to be able to learn every day and just, you know, soak in as much as I could. You know, thought he was going to do it to 100, but, you know, obviously the time was right for him and Miss Terry and, you know, excited for him to kind of go to that next chapter and, you know, I'm sure spend a lot of time on the golf course and a lot of time being a granddad.
Well, now the next chapter for you is here at Mississippi State. You know, you took this job first time to be an SEC defensive coordinator. You were a co-defensive coordinator at Texas, not in the SEC at that time. We'll call them that at later on, I guess. What made this the right choice for you? When you talked to Coach Levy, what about Mississippi State interested you, intrigued you, and what brought you to Starkville?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a couple things. I think, you know, obviously the people are a big part of, you know, any opportunity that you evaluate and make a decision on, and the opportunity to work with Jeff again and, you know, to be a part of his staff. You know, we had a great relationship, you know, at that other place. And so, you know, was very excited for that opportunity to reconnect with him. And then, you know, you look at Mississippi State and the tradition on defense and, you know, the pride that there's been for a lot of years, playing defense at State. And so, you know, the opportunity to lead that unit, was very exciting. So, can't be grateful enough and can't express that enough of how excited I am to be a part of it.
I've talked to a lot of defensive coordinators through the years. We've gone through them here at Mississippi State for some reason. And I'm going to make you work here a little bit because I want you to describe your defensive philosophy, but you can't use the word multiple.
I love it. How about aggressive?
I'll allow aggressive. We'll allow that one.
All right. Just hit a buzzer or something on if I say a word that's not allowed. the three words in kind of one of our first, you know, meetings and being with the guys that we've, you know, talked a lot about and will continue to talk about are effort, technique, and execution. We can draw up a lot of different defenses and I won't say the M word, but you know, there's a lot of things you can do, right? But if you don't do them with great effort, you don't do them with great technique and you don't go out there and execute, you're not going to play very good defense. So, obviously excited to bring what I've learned along the way. And I've been so blessed to have, you know, worked for and been a part of, some great defenses and some great staffs and, to work under some great minds, you know, like Coach Saban. And so, you know, really looking forward to putting, you know, my spin on it and our spin on it as a defensive staff. Got a great staff that we've, you know, assembled and so, you know, really, really look forward to spring ball getting going.
What when you go out to recruit as a first time coordinator and you don't have the tape, you don't have the track record as a coordinator, you know, how do you sell yourself to recruits in those situations?
Sure. I think, you know, obviously been blessed to have coached some great players and to have developed some great players over a number of years in this conference. And so that's kind of a starting point. And then also just, you know, talk about, you know, one, I've been a coordinator in this league, just it's been on special teams, but I've ran a unit and a room and really coordinated and, you know, other than the head coach, you know, a special teams coordinator has, you know, the most interaction and time in front of the entire team. So, you know, those experiences along with obviously, like I mentioned before, just, you know, the how fortunate I've been at the stops I've been and, you know, been a part of a lot of great defense. And so, you know, it's those experiences that I'm going to lean on to, you know, to put out a great defense, you know, at State.
I think about a couple of your predecessors, you know, when Coach Leach was here and Coach Arnett, and they kind of had, you know, a dividing line. Coach Leach didn't mess with Coach Arnett and the other way around. Coach Lebby is an offensive guy. You're a defensive guy. Has he given you the full freedom there? He's like, I'm not going to bother you at all?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think we're a staff and we're one, you know, team and there's total alignment with, you know, Coach Lebby and myself and our entire staff. And so, you know, he's not a micromanager in any way, you know, and so, you know, that's obviously great. And I've got his full confidence and, you know, so that gives you the confidence, right, as the play caller and gives you the confidence as a defensive staff that we can go out and coach and develop our guys.
When I look at your you know, if what I would call a two deep, just trying to make it off of what I know what the roster is right now,
sure,
it's young.
Sure.
I mean, there's no getting around that. It's a young, inexperienced group. There's some talented guys, you know, from their recruiting profile, but they don't have that SEC experience. What do you think of the talent you have on hand already here in Starkville?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited. And obviously, you know, we're as we get into to spring practice and we put the pads on and we, you know, play some football, that the evaluation and, you know, understanding of who our guys are and who we can count on and you know, who our playmakers are, that'll become more clear. But watching guys work out, watching the attitude and effort that guys have put forth, you know, so far, very excited. You know, no doubt you lose, you know, a guy like Buki, a guy like Jet in the linebacker room. That's two big time playmakers, right? But you know, we've got some young talent and some older guys that have been, you know, there, but haven't gotten the full chance to run it and do it themselves, and so. Looking forward for those guys to step up.
It's hard to believe that today is National Signing Day, and we haven't talked about it. We didn't talk much about it on Sports Talk Mississippi. I haven't brought it up yet on this show. You added somebody to your class today. Sort of talk about the recruitment of Josiah Knight and how he came to come to Starkville.
Yeah, I mean, he's a, you know, a young man out of the Panhandle that's kind of a hybrid guy. You know, we're looking for and we were looking to add, you know, just a guy that has some pass rush ability and be able to, you know, really affect the quarterback and affect the game, but also, you know, the tools to play some linebacker and play in space. And so, you know, excited about Josiah. I mean, he's the you know, the recruiting landscape, like you said, this is the second signing day, and you haven't even talked about it today, and it's, you know, 6:30 p.m. So, yeah. You know, it's an interesting time with the two signing days, but whenever you can add a really talented, you know, hardworking, great kid like Josiah, we're very excited to get him here.
Obviously, you know, college football these days, the transfer portal is probably the dominant issue. You brought in a number of guys to compete in the spring. Is your plan to sort of evaluate your team throughout the spring and then come back and say, we need to be active here in this second portal window, or possibly stand pat just depending on what you see in the spring?
Yeah, that's you know, obviously the way that the calendar falls and you know, when that second window opens up after spring, you have a much better idea, right, of where you're at and what your needs are and if you have any deficiencies that you got to go, you know, see if you can add some pieces. So you know, it's an interesting, you know, layout, but we're definitely gonna maximize it if we need to.
Well, Coach, I just want to let you know I appreciate you coming on with us. Great to finally get to talk to you, and looking forward to meeting you in person and your staff, hopefully in the coming weeks. If you could just tell Brandon Langlois to make that happen for us, we'll all get together. I'll even cook if it's got to take. We got to get everybody together and sit down and talk some football.
Hey, I'll eat. So if you'll cook, I'll eat. don't. I won't hesitate. But look forward to it. I really appreciate you having me on.
Sounds good. Coach Coleman Hutzler, Mississippi State defensive coordinator. He's got a job in front of him here in Starkville. He's got to replace some good guys, but he's got some good young talent as well. So I'm very excited to see what he puts forth in his first unit here in Starkville. We'll talk about signing day when we come back. Two new additions to Mississippi State's class of 2024. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi. We're brought to you by Visit Vicksburg. I think I tripped him up, Robbie, when I said he couldn't say multiple. Like, that's every defensive coordinator's favorite word is multiple.
Yeah, I don't want to hear flying to the ball.
No, all 11 guys running to the ball. No, I don't want it. I don't want any of that. I think the one thing to take away is that there's a lot of evaluating going on in the spring, and State will go back to the portal if they have to. And the thing to remember is this: guys are going to leave. Like. Mm-hmm. Guys who are going to be not in the two deep, they're going to find their way out. So State's going to have some spots open up. That's not a concern. It's just going to be in the second half, the second portal window. Can they actually find some difference makers? Because if you go this time in the portal, it can't be for depth. It's got to be guys you know can come in and play.
They need guys to transfer.
Yes.
Right now they don't have the numbers. They do have the numbers. They have too many numbers.
Yeah.
They don't have the spots for players to come in, and they've got to have some guys come in that can help them at edge rusher, cornerback, You know, I don't know if they're going to go after a defensive lineman in the second part of the portal, but you definitely need, you know, a couple of secondary guys, maybe a linebacker, definitely need an edge guy for sure, like I said, and maybe even a running back, because I don't know what the running back situation is. So
I think the
spring is properly evaluating this roster, seeing who can help you and who can't, and then finding players out of the portal that are going to move the needle for you. I think that's what this spring is going to be all about, on top of installing the offense and the defense and all that stuff. It's going to be filling out the coaching staff and the coaches filling out these players as well, to kind of figure out, you know, what's going to fit for them going into the 2024 season.
I agree with you. All right. Back. So what do you want to do here? You want to record it? We got to record. We're either recording. We're not going to record Saturday night after this Missouri game. So we're going to
go like Sunday
before the Super Bowl. Can I say Super Bowl? Will the NFL want me to pay them money?
Oh, can you not say Super Bowl anymore?
I don't know. Everybody else is there at the big game.
Oh, is that what they're calling it?
So
like, when you get sued if you get.
When I worked for Papa John's, they weren't allowed. We any specials we did had to say for the big game.
Oh my God!
And then later, right before I left, they became the official pizza of the NFL. So you could say Super Bowl then, but for you would put out like getting ready for the big game, and you know.
Oh Lord!
I hated it so much. I was like, come on! But that being,
we can go after lunch.
Okay, so we'll go after lunch on Sunday and get the pot.
That'll get us covered.
Yeah. Let's make a Super Bowl prediction before we go. I say I got the Chiefs.
I'm not going to.
31-27.
Yeah, it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes, man. And their defense is really good, the Chiefs.
Jones going to get that third ring.
Yeah, they're playing in their fourth Super Bowl in 6 years, right? And you know, hopefully Willie Gay will get to play. I'm going with the Chiefs. I've noticed the Chiefs have become one of the most hated teams in recent years that I can remember.
Well, it's because
people just are sick of them.
It's the same thing with the Patriots. Everybody hates them. So, I get it.
People are just sick of them, and they're there every, you know,
that being
four,
said, the Chiefs
four out of 6 years.
Guys, like, I feel like Mahomes is likable. Reed is likable.
I've always liked the Chiefs, likeable. Except for when they beat the Steelers.
People who hate Kelce right now because of the whole Taylor Swift, but Travis Kelce is very likable. I mean, you watch that
podcast
with him and his brother. They're very, very likable.
Plus, I'm not going to cheer against Chris Jones and Willie Gay.
Yeah. As an old school Saints fan, the Niners, I hate the Niners. So
I hate the Niners too.
I'm not pulling up for them. So.
Yeah.
Guys, have a great weekend. Back with you very soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Talk Mississippi Media Production.